Chapter 4. The Nature-Born Consciousness. The spirit is of God's very essence. We have spoken at length about the meaning of these words. They concern a return to the starting point of the true human state, the restored link between spirit, soul, and body. In this state, as a being created by God, as a child of God, the human being is able to manifest himself and bring to reality the divine plan that lies at the foundation of the world and mankind. Hermes goes on to say that it is the spirit alone that knows itself perfectly. We would like to consider what this means. In the first place, knowing oneself obviously refers to a state of consciousness. If one wants to know something, one must be conscious of it. All human beings possess consciousness, but it is at most a nature-born consciousness. And this consciousness is one of the lowest forms of consciousness a being can possess. It enables the human being to react to certain sensory perceptions, and all the while he is being controlled by his soul state, by his heart. That is why the seat of human nature, the nucleus of the conscience, lies in the heart, as the universal doctrine explains. Why is man so very conscious in the head sanctuary? Because all the senses are located there, as well as the brain system. Some animal species have no brain as yet, others have only a rudimentary one. Man, too, has a rudimentary brain system that enables him to perform intellectual operations. Basically, natural man is an animal species too, as Hermes often states with considerable emphasis. The natural consciousness is nothing else than the result of an atomic, elementary process. That is why one can say that all animals, including nature-born man, generate and maintain one another. This means to say that any kind of animal life automatically entails self-preservation, which is achieved by various expressions of that animal life. The struggle for existence, for example, is the planning and application of means and actions intended to ensure better and safer place for oneself in the nature of death, and to protect oneself from danger. These expressions of life entail the development of radiations of the vital organs, radiations of an etheric and astral nature. Through these radiations and their element formations, further animal species come into being, such as the various kinds of microorganisms, bacteria and viruses, as well as the many insect species, as a result of which yet more animal species develop. We are mentioning this to draw your attention to the consciousness human beings have as their natural starting point and the class to which their consciousness belongs. This consciousness is the natural result of their being born in a bodily form. So nature alone speaks in the human consciousness and nothing else, apart from a few hereditary factors, as is the case with every animal species. Now, whether human beings have become what they are, yes, i.e. animals with a natural consciousness plus a mentality, through natural selection, through culture, through aeons of time passing through lower animal forms of development, or whether they have sunk to their present state through degeneration, if they remain in that state, it will be no use at all to them to know how it was achieved. The only significant fact will be that they are as they are. That is why the science of biology will never reach a solution through the controversial questions it constantly raises, as long as its investigations do not go beyond the natural consciousness and its points of departure. With its massive delusion of superiority, nature-conscious humanity has also developed occult science during the course of the ages, and many people are undergoing training in it. And what is the sole result? At best, an extension of the sensory perceptions of the natural consciousness, which neither diminishes nor adds to its natural animal nature. If the term animal consciousness, so often used by Hermes, is a stumbling block for you, then we can use a more exotic one. Indian philosophy, for instance, speaks of the Kama Manas consciousness. Mrs. Blavatsky says of it, The Kama Manas consciousness relates to the lowest grades of the instinctive consciousness of animals and some human beings. This consciousness therefore belongs to and remains confined within the field of perception. In human beings, this field of perception has become rational to a certain extent. And then she gives some examples. Among other things, she says, a dog locked in a room has the instinctive urge to escape, but is unable to do so because its instinct is not sufficiently rational to make use of the necessary means, while a human being understands the situation and frees himself consciously from the room. Finally, she says, the man of the masses occupies the seventh and highest rung of the Kama Manas consciousness. In other words, man with his natural consciousness is and remains an animal. And we would like to add that we know dogs who, if they want to escape from a room, are quite capable of opening the door. We are saying this to underline the fact that up to a certain limit, all kinds of gradations exist in the developing animal consciousness. And now another example. If you were to train your eyes to perceive higher or lower vibrations, as a result of which you could then see more than other people, that would neither add to nor detract from the nature or the quality of your consciousness. And so it is with all the senses. Also, it can easily be proved that many animal species possess such extensions of the senses. A trained occultist pats himself on the chest and says, I am clairvoyant, I am clairaudient. I have mastered the method of splitting my body so that I can move in full consciousness in the reflection sphere. But there are many animal species that are equally capable of splitting their bodies, their personalities. Think of spiders, for instance. Such creatures express themselves simultaneously in both the material and the etheric spheres. For them, there is no difference between the two. So when an occultist is boasting about his abilities, you can reply, yes, spiders can do that too. It is also easy for birds to see in the etheric world, and in fact they are controlled by etheric forces. The group spirits of birds are etheric forms, etheric expressions of life. If you have ever watched the flight of a flock of birds, you may have asked yourself, how is it possible for them all to keep together like that? They are held together by a group spirit and etheric force, a certain vibration, a certain light energy that they can perceive very clearly and that guides them to the areas in which it is suitable for them to live, in summer to one region and in winter to another. Most cats, too, possess astral vision, and all dogs and most wild animals have a very keen sense of smell, as you know, so we can state that the extension of the senses in whatever way does not raise man above the natural animal state of life. So if you become more sensitive, for instance, through a life of simplicity and abstinence, or with advancing years, through the natural process of bodily decline, so that it becomes easy for you to perceive etheric vibrations and astral activities, and hence to allow for them, this will have nothing to do with any liberating change in your natural state of consciousness. All claims of this kind are false, misleading, the result of self-deception. Such sensitivity has nothing to do with the genesis of a second, other, new state of consciousness. When sensory changes are mentioned in connection with the gnosis, and the Gnostic development does indeed involve some very remarkable sensory changes, such alteration has quite a different aim, quite a different significance, and leads to quite a different result than extending the natural consciousness. On the contrary, if the Gnostic development becomes a reality, the natural consciousness diminishes in many respects. It begins to withdraw into the background. Now let us ask ourselves whether the human being possesses, alongside his nature-born consciousness, another consciousness capable of raising him above the animal state. Let us consider the subconscious mind, under whose influence the candelabrum in the solar plexus burns and connects the human being with the whole past of all the previous existences in the microcosm. This past is recorded in the auric being, and as such has a powerful influence on the human being's nature-born state. However, if the subconscious were to become totally open to him so that he could go right back through the past to the original first cause, and we consider that possible in principle, this still would not alter the state of the natural consciousness in any respect. Think, in this context, of 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, "If I knew all things, understood all things, and possessed all things, but had not that one essential thing, then I would have and be nothing." Delving into your nature and experimenting with various natural forces will not enable you to change that nature, except in a degenerative sense. For by interfering with natural laws, one can cause one's entire state of life to degenerate. The fact that your nature-born consciousness has never yet been able to raise itself above the normal, natural, animal level proves that one could never derive any ennobling influence from the past either, for what is conscious in nature is always overshadowed by the subconscious. So the only thing left is to explore the state of the heart. What is the state of your heart sanctuary? Do you possess consciousness in your heart sanctuary? No, only emotions. There is certainly no consciousness in the full sense of the word. So now let us return to our starting point and state that man only possesses a natural eye consciousness associated with the head sanctuary. Of that consciousness, it cannot be said that it knows itself perfectly in the sense meant by the 13th book of Hermes. Such a statement would be pure delusion, and your heart sanctuary is entirely governed by your soul state, the central nuclear reactor of your existence, in which are combined all the radiations, influences, and forces that play a role in your being. So, having made this analysis, we can see that as nature-born human beings, we are indeed standing here quite empty-handed. And we can also say that a divine consciousness, as meant by Hermes Trismegistus, must be associated with the soul, with the altered soul state, and thus with the purified heart. And so we must state, yet again, that a completely new state of consciousness connected with the soul must be born in the heart sanctuary. It will be a consciousness so clearly aware, so absolutely positive, that it will know both God and itself, both the soul and the primordial past, in their totality.